Well, today's message is nothing new. It's actually come from the church's theme. This year, the church theme is to renew. The theme verse is from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. So this is just to preach right from the core of this year's theme of this church, C4 Church, both English and Chinese. So I believe that you guys probably have read these two verses many times, but it's no harm for us to read it one more time. Okay, let's do it. So can you, those who are with good eyesight, can you guys read it with me, or you can use your iPhone or use your paper Bible? Okay, let's read it together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good. It's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, we can generate a series of messages from these loaded passages. And today, actually, I'm going to focus more on do not conform to the pattern of this world, conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's conform and transform. These are two different words. And the pattern of this world, actually, a lot of times we underestimate this world. This world has a structure or a network that will catch us, that will rule us, that will actually give us a lot of anxieties. It's just like the ancient Greek story of Odyssey. Maybe some of you guys heard about the story, the legendary story by Homer, Odyssey. And for the antagonist to go back home, he has to pass or sail through a lot of predicaments, difficulties. And one of them was from sail in between. On the left was a lot of fairy tale girls who was intoxicating beautiful, beautiful voice dance as temptations of our lives. Temptations of our lives. And on the right-hand side was a gigantic swirl that will swallow every ship that's sail besides it. So it's just a life. And there is a Greek saying, a Western idiom said, sailing or going in between sirens and charybdis. So charybdis is actually the swirl that will catch every ship. And the sirens is the temptation. There's a temptation between the temptation and the difficulties or the dangers. Which one will you pick? But both will cause your life. Both will cause your life to be stuck. But actually, life is much more complicated than that. Even, especially when you guys are teenagers and going through a lots of brain trimming process, going through hormonal imbalances, and most of us are minorities, and we at school constantly struggle with identity crisis. Believe it or not, it's something always deep down there, and your social life can be a constant concern for you. This world creates a lot of anxiety for you. And beside this world, there is devil, always want to catch you. Besides this world, there's inner depravity in ourselves. We are actually in a predicament, a lot of predicaments. So it's difficult, life is difficult. So, but today I'm trying to focus mostly on the pattern of this world. This world actually tries very hard to entangle us to a point that is very difficult for us, especially teenagers, to escape. For instance, something I took a picture last night. We are a family, not very keep update to the fashion. We, you know, purchase all those stuff reluctantly, and mostly we are slower. The pace is very slow. But even though I just realized that these are all the old cell phones we purchased, and I'm not including any of the new cell phones we are using. So it's you can count. Probably you search your closets, search your drawers, and every family can have this collection. And yours might be a lot more fancier than mine. But the thing is that these most of them are still functioning. My generation 4, it's not even here. My generation 4 iPhone is still functioning. And not the screen is not even broken. But it sits somewhere in the office of my drawer, and it's like useless. So this is the world, the modern world. Do you guys remember when was the first generation of iPhone released? Yeah, there are some tech geeks here. It's June the 19th of 2007. So it's about a decade. And when you have an iPhone 4, 7, or iPhone 4, the first generation iPhone in your hand, you will be viewed as maybe antique or a dinosaur. Right? That's so out of fashion. This world somehow is just running fast, and we all do not want to be get behind, so we are pressured with lots of anxieties to catch up. So this is actually, maybe you saw this picture before, it's like a modernity. This is the typical symbol of modernity. Modernity means fast-paced changes, fashions, like the model. Modernity comes from the model. Model come up to stage for the 5 minutes of fame under the spotlight, and then afterwards, just turn around and walk off the stage, and she's done. She's done. So this is just like the iPhone for the fashion of for the spotlight for a year, and then walk off the stage and be replaced. And then all those iPhones are called trash. Modernity creates a lot of trash. With each of the metropolitan city, there is a modern phenomenon called a mountain of trash. You can hunt around. Each, and there must be a mountain of trash nearby a big city, because everything ends up in that trash mountain. Does this cause a lot of anxiety in us? We too, someday, will be left behind. We'll be thrown away. We'll be useless and tossed away like trash. So modernity caused a lot of anxiety in us. Sometimes you are not even conscious of the pressure is being generated by the pace of the society. And in addition to this, we all endure or suffer from this kind of modern syndrome. But on top of this, you guys are suffering from identity crisis, hormonal imbalances, brain trimming process. So it's like a life today, especially the teenager. It's like, I use a metaphor, it's like an amateur rider riding on the back of a wild horse. Untrained wild horse. So this is a life. And somehow we all are stuck. We are all stuck somewhere. Something might will get you, or something may has already caught you. So this world saturates us with shame, fear, guilt, anxiety, and lots of other negative feelings. It's a system. It's a net that will catch us. And all of our inner negative feelings will express in some way. And which is your way? This is a picture from the CIU Rambler. Rambler is the magazine CIU produces, right, from time to time. And it delineates a story about a college boy who actually suffered from cutting himself in order to release a lot of tension, a lot of anxiety. It is a way of hurting self. It's just the inner pain is so intensified that the cutting the arm is actually be viewed as feeling like a relief. It's no longer painful, cutting with a sharp blade, or cutting the arm. So this is how intense the inner pain is. You may not know this girl, but you definitely know this girl's father. His father is called Jackie Chan. And notice his left arm, her left arm. Lots of cuttings by blades. So this is real in the real world. It happens. So what is your way of escaping? I think we're all trapped here somewhere. And there is an app calculating each and every minute you spend in front of the screen. And I downloaded it and tried to track myself. Surprisingly, sometimes it records like 16 hours of the day for the past week, each day I spend on the screen. Probably that should include my working time. Otherwise, I'd be in trouble. But most of the time, the major chunk of our time was spent in front of the screen. And somehow we were captured by the screen. The last thing you did before going to sleep was to watch the screen, right? And the first thing you did in the morning was to search for your iPhone. If the iPhone is not with you, you will have a panic attack. Is that right? So this is somehow we all experience. And sometimes it can be a way of escaping in the virtual world, because the real world sometimes is too painful. And what is your way of escaping? What is your way of escaping? I have a friend who, whenever he gets anxious, he just went to a restaurant and ordered lots of food and consumed at a time. And afterwards, it's release, very releasing, relaxing. Or the other way around, he go to gym every day and, yeah, it's just to sculpt yourself with a perfect body. So, and what is your way of escaping? Sometimes you just perfectionist. And sometimes even getting a good grade can be a way of escaping too. To release anxiety, to prove yourself. And the result might be good, But the cause, the motivation, might be wrong. And sometimes a church service can be, there are shopaholic, alcoholic, workaholic, and is there any churchaholic? Possible. Someone just find escape in attending all the church services without taking up the family or taking up the job. So it can be a way of escaping. So what is your way of escaping? So unfortunately, the world is fallen, to which we always conform to, and we are broken. Broken is actually a mild word. It's actually we are sinful, or we are depraved. We are depraved, to use a theological technical term. It's called depraved, depravity. And there is no way to escape. It's very difficult to escape. No escape other than the gospel, the good news. This is what the diagnosis of the Bible for our life condition. And the good doctor always prescribes with solution, with medication. So this is the Romans chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So there are two words catch our attention. The first one is therefore, and the second one is God's mercy. God's mercy. What actually is therefore? We all know all these conjunctions in the hermeneutics, in interpreting the Bible. Conjunctions are very important. So therefore points to what? This is Romans chapter 12. Therefore points to Romans chapter 1 to 11. The majority of the scholars believe that it points back to chapter 1 to 11. So what happens in Romans chapter 1 to 11? It's God knows we are impotent. If you read Romans chapter 1 to 11, God loves us by sending his only son, Christ. Christ died for us on the cross. Christ triumphant this world. Christ nailed sin on the cross. Or in John Owen's word, is Christ actually declared the death, bring death to death. And Christ accomplished salvation for us. So gospel is not a fairy tale. Neither is it a mere story. Gospel was historical facts. It was true. It was something Christ accomplished for us on the cross already. So in theological terms, Romans chapter 1 to 11, we can name it salvation accomplished. Salvation or redemption accomplished. Accomplished by Christ, by God, by God's mercy. So the spiritual reality in chapter 1 to 11, the first 11 chapters in the book of Romans, has been there. But how can this reality be assimilated into our life, become true in our life? So from chapter 12 of the book of Romans, it starts with a process we call redemption applied. So redemption accomplished and redemption applied. So in the verse from the beginning of chapter 12, redemption applied in our lives. So we are immigrated or migrated from the world into another world, a new creation called Christ, a new being, second Adam. So it's by God's mercy, we heard that we actually discussed this word, by God's mercy. This is a very unique term called oiktos. In Greek, it's called oiktos. And there are some very special meaning behind this this word. It's just like God laments. God laments at our situation or at your situation. Just like a loving father aches to see his beloved son or daughter struggling in pain and despair. So God is willing to help, very much want to help. He actually already helped by sending his son into this world to accomplish salvation for us. The point is that you need to express your willingness to be helped. For you to accept help, you need to express your willingness to be helped. How do you tell God that you are willing to accept his help? This is actually just like when your iPhone is out of battery, you need to plug into an outlet and charge the iPhone. Unless you take your action of plugging into an outlet on the wall, your iPhone will not be charged. Unless you take this action, your life will be helpless, be impotent, be struggling, and be tossed around, up and down, in the tsunami. So what is this plugging into the outlet, spiritual outlet? What is the action of empowerment, which is something called faith? Word is called faith. Magic word is called faith. Faith. Faith is something induces what has been accomplished in the first 11 chapters of the Romans into your life and transforms all the spiritual reality into your daily life and the reality of your life to make it true in your life. Faith means we humbly admit that we need help. We are depraved. It is out of our control. We need help. By opening ourselves to God and ask for divine help in the name of Jesus. The Lord grant us the name of Jesus. And that is actually, I do not like to use the magic, but magic, I please, it sounds like a right word here. The power, the name of Jesus is actually magic, which means you call upon the name, divine power will flow into the name, flow through the name and into your life and gradually transform your life. Remember, you did not create your own life. God created your life. Your life is supernatural. Do not try to manage your life like it is natural and you can have it all control everything. You can, you know, manage everything with your natural power. Life is supernatural. Life is supernatural. You have to seek for supernatural help. Supernatural help comes from the name of Jesus, comes from your faith in Christ. So I understand that there will be a baptismal class, and some of you probably are struggling registering, enroll in the class. Some of you might doubt, will this really help? It truly helps. And it helped millions of, tens of millions or billions of people already. And it will help you too. So seek for transcendent, supernatural help from divine power. and induce the power into your life, induce the spiritual reality into your life by faith, by trusting the Lord, by the name of Jesus. And only then your life will be transformed. You'll be transplanted into another world. All the principles can be different. This is a picture prepared by someone called Dave Paulison, Paulison, Paulison. And he is a professor in Westminster Theological Seminary in a counseling program, and he's my teacher in counseling course. And when we were in seminary, there was a very, very popular course. Every seminarian in Westminster takes this course, and it's called the How People Change. How people change, or how people transform. So basically, Dave Paulison presented two types of life. This type of life is the life in the world with a lot of negative influences in your life, in your heart, in your inner being, the depravity, the world, the devil, the criticism, the negative, the performance, the modern world kind of always try to dump you and demand the best of you and leave you scarred, leave you hurt and without healing you, always criticize you, always negatively nagging you. This is the world, the pattern of this world, the pattern of this world. And we constantly drain influence from the negative of the world and grow into a tree of thrones. And we are very selfish. Whoever around us, a painful experience to be with us, and we are harsh, and we can have a lot of negative impacts for the people around us. So this is the system. And by transforming yourself into the Word of God, the world of Christ, the new eon, a new creation, you experience something here, called grace. Grace is not an easy concept to grasp, grace, even though I know a lot of people named grace. Grace is not an easy concept to grasp. Sometimes we tend to rely upon ourselves, and we refuse help. But I said, life is supernatural. There's no way you can manage your life well without God's help. It's not designed that way. It's not designed that way. So just like when you were a child, you rely upon your mom to survive, right? So we spiritually rely upon the grace of God to survive. So it's from the grace of God you draw nutritions or influences from the grace of God, and you grow into a tree of fruit with all these fruit of the spirit in you. So totally transform you. But the external condition, like the heat, the water, the rain, the sunshine, might be the same. But because of you have faith, you have connection with Christ, your life system has been changed. So this is to conform to the current world. And this is to be transformed, your inner life, day by day, into the image and like of Christ. So even though we all live in the same world, or under the same roof, but our life systems can be very different. It depends on your inner decision, depends on your faith. So do not conform to this world. What is conform? The world is like a mold to which you conform. It demands you to conform to that, to be tricky, to care about yourself, to survive of the fittest. That is the world. This is not just the evolutionary theory. It's actually the reality of the world. Ask us to conform to the world. This world pressures us to keep up with the Joneses. You have to have iPhone 10. Without that, you cannot find a friend. And this world pursues vanity and shame. Pursues vanity. Eventually, it all being tossed around that mountain of trash. You have no value. You have no value. Vanity means emptiness. So it gives you a lot of anxiety and emptiness. And also manipulates you with shame. Manipulates with your shame, guilt, and fear. This is the world. The world is very good at manipulating you. Sometimes you do not realize the fact. And the world asks us to be perfect if you want to be loved. The world actually demands the best of you, yet leave you helplessly when you need help. So the world actually angers you, loaded you with worries, and give you panic attack. And sometimes we yell to each other because we cannot take any more. There is a university in Connecticut called Yale University. But at our home, we have another university called Yale University, Y-E-L-L, Yale University. Somehow we all graduated from Yale University, Y-E-L-L, Yale University. Because we were yelled to when we were young. And when we were loaded with pressure, that natural valve is for us to yell to our next generation, to our children. And our children will yield to their children. So from generation to generation, this is called a karma. I'm just using this word in a different way. So this is the world we are living in. Analysis of this world, or anatomy of this world. This is just a tip of iceberg. And then we were transformed. We are transformed. The Greek word for transformed is called metamorpho. Metamorpho. Metamorpho, meta means couple. Morpho means shape. Metamorpho means from inside out, you have a new life. And the best one is for the butterfly, from the cocoon to the flying butterfly, beautiful butterfly. It's being transformed. Transformed is inside out. Conformed to is the outside in. You conform to this world. But you transformed is something already planted in you. The divine seed was planted in you. And that divine seed is Christ, is the new life. Christ accomplished. He said he is the seed from the world, and he yields a lot of grains, and that grain became seed planted in our life. That is a divine life. So when you let this divine life grow, and it will transform you, metamorphe. And you are in the process of being transformed, not only in this world, but also for the life in the life to come. You are designed to be eternal. Anything less than eternity cannot satisfy you. So you are being transformed day by day, renewed day by day. And you are not alone. Remember, we are designed supernaturally. Supernatural power indwells in you and helps you constantly. And that supernatural power is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Do not think that you can actually manage the supernatural life, the new life, all by yourself. No. Redemption accomplished by Christ. Redemption applied by the Holy Spirit. This is all natural. All supernatural. This is all supernatural. All supernatural. So by faith, you were justified, and by faith, you were sanctified. Faith is a cry to the Lord for help. I cannot do my life by myself, neither can you, especially when you are in your teenagers, you are in turbulent times. So this is the message. Part of the message actually we can extract from Romans 12:1-2.